It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Welcome, everybody. Insight, this gorgeous Wednesday night. I have in studio the Judy family. I feel like I'm on Family Feud here. We have the Judy family, Carol, John, and Steve, and they are up here representing the Fort Streetcar Classics, and we are fortunate enough this Saturday to be able to have our, I guess this year it would be semi-annual, I mean, I guess it would be annual car show because we weren't able to do it in May. Mm-hmm. So,
the fall car show, fall cruise-in.
Yeah. Cruise-in, yes. Yeah, fall cruise-in. So let's talk about the cruise-in coming up on Saturday. Why don't you share what's happening?
Okay, our cruise-in is from 4 to 8 Saturday afternoon, uptown on the Brick Street. We did have to do a couple of changes because of the construction on the street here in town, so we're moving the cruise-in south. We have to leave it open between the eye doctor and the Wayne Street Market so that the trucks can go through there to get out through the north edge of town. So we'll be south of that, and we'll become going across the traffic light down to the southern end of town, down to the Morvilius House or the old bed and breakfast. To okay. That alleyway there is where we plan on blocking off the street. And we've contacted those neighbors, and they know that we're going to be down there, and they all seemed happy about it. So
fantastic. Now, for I think everybody that knows, this was kind of an on-again, off-again, on-again type thing.
Yes.
So how did you go about finding out that it's on-again?
So we worked with the town.
Pull that toward you.
Yeah, yep. Sorry.
You don't have to lean in.
Working with Randy Diller in the town and Jared also for the police. They said right away that to have the cruise-in in town, we needed to get approval from the county health director or health department. So we went to them probably about a month ago, and at that time, they weren't aware of any allowances, I guess, from the state, from DeWine and his orders for events like the cruise-in. So he said, no good, we weren't allowed to have it. But as a club and I think just as in a community, we wanted to still do something, so we kind of made some changes, and we were going to do what a lot of the other communities have done where they kind of cruise around town. So we made all those changes, and then about a week later, he emailed back, the Mercer County Health Director emailed back and was like, they're going to put something out. They said we can do it. We're allowed to do it. So I immediately forwarded that to Randy and said, is this good enough for approval? Can we do this? And he said, if you guys can make it work, we want to make it work. So we're real fortunate that the town was very open and willing to kind of adjust. Like we talked about the construction, so it impacts the detour around 49. And with a lot of the semi-traffic, they worked really hard to keep them off of Fort Street here behind us. So we didn't want to open that up even just for a night to create more havoc. So we're going to stay on the bricks as much as we can, but we'll just push everything south. So it kind of had to happen fast. We only really had about 2 week leeway. I think it was last Wednesday he said, okay, go ahead. So luckily with social media, we put a few posts out to get people there. And I think the last one I put out just earlier, what day was that? This weekend, I think it was maybe. Yeah, Sunday or Monday. Had over 5,000 people have seen it.
Wow.
So the weather's looking great right now. Hopefully it stays that way for us.
And yeah, it looks like it's 70s and no rain. I think the rain's holding off till sometime Sunday, and it's going to be spotty.
Yeah.
So
if we can,
I think it's going to be really
nice.
We
can catch that break. I know there's a lot of people kind of itching to get out, especially in the car community. A lot of the events that have been put on have gotten good turnouts through the COVID. you know, we were asked to stress the social distancing, so, you know, we'll keep throwing that out there. Really, it's always common sense with any of this is all we really ask for. Again, it's, you know, as much as it's a privilege for us, you know, so we don't want to impede on those, even though if we may not like them or do like them, I don't really care where people stand on it. I just want them to make sure that we follow the rules so that we can keep doing these. So
yeah, sure. And so the next place can do one too, if they have enough of them that have problems, they're going to start shutting them all down again. So we need to, even if you don't like the rules, you have to go with the rules or it affects a whole bunch of people. Yeah, so
sure.
Just people getting coronavirus, it's just other events that aren't going to be allowed to happen. So we have to take care of all of that.
So you realistically, though, when you're talking about the rules, you're talking about social distancing. You know, since it's outside, as long as you're doing the distance thing, even a mask isn't going to be required, right?
Right.
From a restriction standpoint, keep your distance, keep moving, and it should be a pretty simple thing to follow, I would think.
We hope so. And we did make some adjustments even before when we went to the county to ask if we could or couldn't. We made some changes. One is we normally do awards for all these shows, and, you know, we'll have the sponsors, and we'll go around and pick them out, or they'll pick them out, however that works out on the evening. And we couldn't order awards because we didn't know if it was even going to happen. So we dropped registration fees, so we're not charging people to come in because, you know, we're not giving them anything in return. We're not doing our concession stands. I think the Boy Scouts, or at least if they would like to, they're more than welcome to come out and sell what they want to, but we're not selling food. We are going to do 50-50, but some of just subtle changes to kind of keep that social distancing stuff going. You know, some offers that we were hoping would kind of get the county to let us do our thing. And it's difficult too, because I think the week that they actually originally denied us was right after the Greenville cruise in. So a lot of us from the club had just went to Greenville and done the exact same thing that we were asking them to allow us to do here in town. And I personally was pretty disappointed. I think from a club standpoint, we use these shows to raise our money. This is how we generate funds. And then we generally use them for scholarships as our primary donation every year. We try to do two. Sometimes we'll do three. Kids going into the automotive field. Obviously, not all of us in the club are in automotive, but we're into the car, so we want to promote that kind of continued growth. And then we put a lot of money back into the community. We donate to the museum because they allow it to be open, most cruise-ins. We donate it to the town for their help, and police officers, fire department. I mean, there's a long laundry list of the organizations that we pick out. Some of our predecessors in the club, one being Jack, my dad, and, you know, Carol's husband passed away from cancer. So we do a lot of, you know, Hope Fest and Cancer Society and those types of things. Or we'll pick out other, you know, family members or community members that are fighting that battle. And, you know, it's one of those ways I always say for a bunch of car guys, we do pretty good.
Yeah.
Generating some funds and trying to make sure that, you know, it's always been bigger than us as far as a group goes. And so these cruises really mean more than just people coming and hanging out in town.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about some of those funds. And, you know, it really sounds like, you know, maybe this year it's not as much about raising money as it is about the ability to get together and to celebrate cars to, you know, some extent, and shoot, just community. The ability to get together and to be together from a community standpoint.
A little bit of normal.
Yeah. So we'll be back right after this.
Hey, this is Stacy with Brick Street Tavern. We have added a couple new items to our menu. Spicy pickle fries, pizza bites, cauliflower pizza, and cheese curds. Stop up and try our new items or give us a call to get them to go.
They're focused. They see the future as an opportunity. They're growing, and they're looking for someone like you who shares in the same vision for a better future. Cooper Farms has been raising turkeys since 1938, and today they're raising hogs and chicken egg layers and making a variety of delicious food products. What's in store next for Cooper Farms? Join them in their quest for innovation, opportunity, and growth. Apply online today at cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, it's more than just a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales, Fort Recovery, Ohio. Now you can mow like the pros with a Simplicity zero-turn mower. These mowers have all the features professionals demand. Durability, heavy-duty construction, and of course, a perfect cut. Simplicity zero-turn mowers with their exclusive suspension system let you mow more lawn in less time, and you'll have fun doing it, because these mowers are unlike any you've ever used. So stop by K&L Tractor and discover the secret to a professionally manicured lawn. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
The Fall Fort Street Car Classics Cruise-In is back on. The Ohio Department of Health is now allowing outside car shows just in time for this great event coming up on Saturday, October 10th from 4 to 8 p.m. It's back on the bricks for the Fall Cruise-In. There will be a few necessary changes, but you'll be able to check out these awesome cars in downtown Fort Recovery. So don't miss your chance to get to the Fort Street Car Classics Fall Cruise-In on Saturday evening, October 10th, from 4 to 8 on the Brick Street in downtown Fort Recovery.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, Carol Steve, and John Judy talking about the upcoming Fort Street Car Classic Cruise-In coming up this Saturday, 4 to 8 on the Brick Street here. And you know, we were talking about the financial part of the cruise-in. And John, you talked about, you know, the fact that you're not charging just because there's not going to be the plaques and things. And you know, with you know, this year, and you look at, you know, you look at the hits that the various athletic teams have taken from not having fans in the stands. This is kind of the same type thing, and you know, there's, you know, times when you realize that it's not about the money, it's about the participation part, and it's about the being there and the community part, and I'm sure that's a large part of why you're doing what you're doing.
And it's not only our community of car people, our car club, and other people that we see at other shows and expect to see them at our show and catch up with them maybe if we only see them three or four times a year, but it's watching the local people come up and enjoy the cars also. You know, they may not really think a lot about cars, but they still have a favorite one when they were younger.
Oh yeah.
And they like to come up and walk around, and it's great to see our own local Fort Recovery community come up and join us and take a look at what's going on and enjoy the cars. And some of the stores stay open so you can do a little shopping. John mentioned that we do donate to the Historical Society, and they have the museum open for us. They will be open this Saturday from 4:30 to 6:30, and admission is totally free because we make a donation to cover those admissions. So if anybody out there hasn't been to the museum in a long time, come on up, take a look at the cars, walk on back to the museum, and
that's
go through
a great
it for
opportunity.
Free. 4:30 to 6:30, they'll be open.
The museum, if you haven't been there in a while, you won't even recognize the inside. They did some changes this year, but about 5 years ago, they completely changed everything in there. It's so, you know, it used to be you kind of walked in and looked at stuff, and you didn't really know what you're looking at. They have interactive things. They have all kinds of great explanations of what's going on. It's very detailed, and if you're into, I guess you'd call it prehistoric stones, they have one of the, as some people say the best, but one of the best collections in the state and in probably the 5 or 6 state area of prehistoric stones. A lot of people call them Indian things, but most of it's pre-Indian. It's really neat, and it's a free opportunity to go in there and look around for a little bit. So, in addition to seeing some of the most beautiful cars you'll ever see.
Right.
So, you know, we were in Carmel, Indiana this past Saturday, and they were having a car show. And, you know, it's kind of neat as you walk around. And my knowledge of cars is I know to put air in the tires, okay? And that's about it.
You notice he didn't say how to put air in the tires. He knows to put air in the tires. Yeah.
Okay.
Pulls up and lets Harold do it.
But to watch families, you know, like to watch kids look at these old cars, and I don't pretend to know the years of these things, but you know they were from the 30s and 40s, and to see these kids that were, you know, 10 to 14 years of age look at these old cars and to you know, look at them and to admire them for what they are is really cool.
If those 10 to 14 year olds are from a car family, which I'm assuming they were, they've learned since they were 2 or 3 years old that they don't touch a car that doesn't belong to them also. They look with their hands in their pockets or their hands behind their back, and they look with their eyes. My grandkids are all learning that or have learned it, and that's just part of it. You know, you don't touch someone else's property, and you take care of what you have, and that's a biggie with car show people.
But
even if you don't know anything other than where you put the air in the tires, you can still look at the cars and enjoy them. I know as a female, people always say, well, you go to car shows? What do you do at a car show? How, you know, I don't know anything. You don't have to really know anything. I've learned a lot over the years, but you don't have to know anything. But you can appreciate the pretty color combinations, the interiors, the shiny paint. You know, I mean, there's just so many things that you can look at and appreciate, even if it doesn't really matter if you don't know what it is. You can still appreciate it.
Well, and you also learn the time and effort put into the cars. You know, my wife is learning this as I'm working on projects and times in the shop, not in the house. And, you know, the time that, you know, you learn to enjoy that and see the work and understand that, you know, this is my truck. This is the work I put into it. Now look at that one. Imagine the work that's been put into that one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you kind of see all of that, too. And it's just, it's a different prospect.
Yeah. Well, and you know, you can get the same appreciation when you look at that, you handmade dinette set or that type of thing, and you see the, you know, craftsmanship. And I'm sure that, you know, you guys appreciate the same type of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You look and see it, you know, and everybody has a different eye. Everybody wants to do something different. So, you know, you may have two cars that are exactly the same years. And, you know, this one, like, you know, her and my trucks right now, they're the same body style of truck. But mine's more the original, you know, the engine and drivetrain and all that's original. But then you look at hers, it's street rotted. It's got the V8. It's automatic. It's, you know, sits lower on the ground. It's got the big fat tires. It's a hot rod.
Yeah.
You know, mine's, you know, more of the nostalgia truck. And that's the same thing. You know, everybody looks at everything different, and they just have, it's different works and different ideas.
So you know, let's talk about the group, okay? So the Fort Street Car Classics have been around since
early 80s.
Since the early 80s, mm-hmm. Okay? And that was about the same time that the car show started?
Yeah, I think we had our first, Mike Tin may be able to correct me out there, but I think we had our first car show about 1984.
Okay.
And we, I'm sorry, yeah, 84. 84, I said 94. 84. We did them for 10 years, so 1993 was the last car show. Car show, the difference between that and a cruise-in is you usually have classes of cars or years of cars. The Chevys go here, the Oldsmobiles go here, the street rods are back here, the trucks are somewhere else.
Okay.
And each one of those classes of cars gets judged, and then they give out trophies. And that got to be a lot of work and made a lot of people mad because, like Steve just said, everybody's eye is different. The judges have different things they're looking for or different things that they like.
Yeah.
So it became no fun for the people being the judges.
And cruise-ins
were gaining consideration. So we decided to drop the car shows, go to the cruise-in. After we got the Brick Street, we moved it to the Brick Street. It's worked out well. Ours has always been the Merchants Cruise-In because the merchants that choose to sponsor have the ability to come out and vote for the car that they want to get there. So it's not a judge thing. It's whatever.
Yeah.
The prime example of that several years ago when I was running the Purple Post, Of course, I was a sponsor. I gave my car, my award, to a purple lead sled that happened to be out here. And afterwards, the lady that got that award came up to me, not knowing who I was, and said, "Look at this, look at this. We have that purple car down there, and my award is from the Purple Post. How cool is that?" And it was like, yeah, I'm the Purple Post. Yeah, I had to do that, you know, because it was the coolest purple car out there. So, you know, it was for whatever reason. And even those people that know nothing about cars as a merchant, they could pick a car for whatever reason. Yeah. And that's what makes this cruise in fun. And it has helped people come because not the same high dollar, immaculate, super, super expensive cars get the awards. Some car that somebody's had in a garage for 10 years and pulled it out may hit somebody's heart because they had one when they were 16, and that car can get that award. So it's not always the most finished that get an award out here when we do awards.
We still,
and
that like makes the high dollar ones too, though.
We love those because you can really see that, but I usually try to stay in the Chevrolet area or the local area for, you know, for the ones that I pick. So because that's what I look for, but a lot of times I'll have to take my third or fourth or fifth choice because somebody's already picked the one that I was looking at.
That's usually my problem.
Yeah, so, and that's all okay. Then somebody else that maybe doesn't get an award very often gets one, and that's awesome.
So when we go back to the early 80s, that core group that helped start this.
So you got Jack and Carol, Judy, Laverne and Jane Weitzel.
Larry and Irene Stone.
Oh, yeah.
Mike and Sue.
Would be some of the very early ones.
Yeah. We weren't charter members, but we joined shortly thereafter, Jack and I.
Were Barnett's involved in it?
No, they've come over later. Mm-hmm. Right. At this point, we have members from Salina, St. Henry, Mendon, Portland, all over.
North Star, you have a guy from North Star still, is he?
Yeah.
The Kriegs.
So, with the COVID, it seems like there's some activities that the COVID has really put a damper on, and then it seems like others because of the COVID, the activities have really taken off. So do you think that this cruise-in will get a lot of participation because of the COVID? I mean, will it affect the number of cars?
I'm hopeful that, I mean, just at this point, everyone's kind of ready to get out in this area. It feels like that way. So I think it'll be a bigger turnout for us than normal, I'm kind of expecting.
I'm very sure of it because of that reason, and the weather is going to be absolutely
in October. You can't
unbelievable.
Yeah. Weather always brings everybody out.
Our cruisings have always 70s. Kind of been the start of the season and the end of the season.
Yeah,
for cars. So we kind of get some questionable weather both times.
I know,
early May, early October. You never really know. Yeah.
But it always seems to me that you actually get usually what seems to be the best weekend within 2 or 3 weeks of that.
Not always.
But
we've had snow and we've had some very cold rain, but we still get enough cars to make it a good show.
It just seems to me like
when we have weather like we're expecting now, it'll be great.
But I think the COVID's been interesting for the car community. I mean, if you look at some of the local events, it really did change. It went from where we were doing a lot more cruise-ins on weekends or Friday nights to where, you know, Salina really got into doing the cruises, Greenville. And Greenville kind of revived a lot of the old nostalgia that, I mean, I really didn't take part of in my day because it wasn't a thing. But, you know, they started a cruise and they had to do it both directions because they had so many vehicles show up. You know, we did a cruise here in May because we couldn't do the cruise-in. And we had people, I mean, it was like a parade. We had people in town, you know, then it happened to be, I think, someone's birthday. They were throwing a party. There was a band playing when we were driving around town. I mean,
That was Jen Zeringer.
Those events just kind of really took a shape for themselves. And honestly, I think it's a good thing for the car people. I mean, really, and just in general, I think everyone enjoys them. Even at Salina, You kind of start out around the lake, and then you can go downtown, which is what a lot of people remember driving around in downtown. But along the lake, there are people, you know, waving and saying hi and telling you they think your car is cool and stuff. I think it brought some of that back. The cruise-ins were such a staple. That's just what we did. And now everyone's like, well, man, it's kind of fun to drive these things around and show them off that way. And so it's just a different light, which has been a nice change.
Everybody reverts back to the scenes from American Graffiti. Now, you know, you guys probably never saw that movie, but it's where Harrison Ford got his start, and Richard Dreyfuss, and Suzanne Summers, I think, maybe even. Richie Cunningham was on there.
I don't know if he played Richie Cunningham, but
I don't think he did.
Richie Cunningham was that character.
Yeah. So I tell you what, let's take another break, and we're going to come back and talk about, and this is like the, you know, blind leading the people that can see. But we're going to come back and talk about cars, okay? And you know, what makes a good classic car? How do you know what to invest in? How much to invest in it? What you guys are presently working on? That type of thing. So we'll be back right after this.
Klingtern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingternandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingtern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
With power and versatility, the Kubota M7 tractor is built for hay and forage work. Up to 168 horsepower, superior loader lift capacity, easy-to-use controls, all-day comfort, and your choice of a 30x15 semi-power shift or Kubota variable transmission. The M7 tractor, built right, built ready. Talk to your hometown Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
You say you're hungry? Call Miracle Lanes and avoid the work and hassle of fixing it yourself. 375-4274 is the number you want to call for subs, salads, great sandwiches and sides, and of course their awesome pizza. Do you have a birthday party or other get-together coming up? Give them a call and reserve your lanes now. Miracle Lanes, great food, lots of fun. 375-4274. Be sure to tune in to Fort Recovery Radio every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. for a new show, A Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone. He'll give us some expert advice and timely tips on what we need to do to keep our lawns and gardens healthy. You can email him questions for future shows at steve@naturesgreennursery.com. Be sure to tune in every Saturday morning for A Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone, 8 a.m. on Fort Recovery Radio. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, the Lady Indians will host Minster in a big MAC match and will simulcast WPGW's broadcast. On Saturday, they'll travel to Fort Loramie to take on one of the toughest teams in the state with a JV match starting at 10 a.m. Diana Rammel and Susie Fortkamp will bring you all that action live right here on Fort Recovery Radio. Football has no game this week since they earned a bye in the first week of the playoffs. They'll host Milford Center Fairbanks a week from Saturday on October 17th. You can catch all the volleyball action live this week right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler and the Judy family here on Family Feud. And I tell you what, we've been talking about the car show that's coming up Saturday, and Steve's been getting texts, kind of getting updates on the number of cars that are at least asking about coming up and you know, registering to participate in the upcoming cruise in, and it you know, sounds like there's a lot of interest.
Yeah, our Vice President Laverne just texted me and said that he's getting at least 5 calls a day from people, and calls as far as Cincinnati, Geneva, Fort Wayne. So there's, you know, there's a lot of interest. Like John's been saying, with the whole COVID, there hasn't been a lot to do.
Yeah.
And it's now the end of our show season, so there's just a whole lot of people. They're seeing the same thing we are. They see that weather, and they're like, well, we haven't put a lot of miles on this year. Let's get it out one more time. And
this last chance to get it out.
Take the hour, 2-hour drive, and just, you know, make a day out of it.
Well, they did all this work, whether it was this past year or 5 or 10 years ago. They did all this work so they could go out and let people appreciate the beauty of these cars, and they've had them out twice. You know, some of them probably maybe not even that.
Right. Usually I just take mine and just drive into town just because I want to drive it, and there's nowhere else to do it. So I'll drive it uptown to get lunch or just, you know, go pick the kid up from the babysitter because he loves it too. So
yeah, and I love to see that out driving around. That just makes me smile.
So like, what do you guys own as far as a classic car?
Mom's got the pretty one.
I've got the pretty one. I have Barney. He is a silver and purple 1948 Suburban that Jack and I brought home from Topeka, Kansas on 4th of July weekend in 1994. And it first got on the road, and I actually took it over to Portland to a retirement party for a friend who's also a car guy on July 4th weekend of this year. So 26 years after the weekend we brought it home, I drove it for the first time.
No kidding.
It was pretty neat when I realized all that.
How cool is that?
It was kind of shaky time.
Yeah.
So 26.
1948.
Suburban.
Purple and.
Silver.
Silver Suburban. How cool is that?
It's pretty cool.
Similar paint scheme to yours, correct? To Steve's?
Oh, yeah, wow. mine's maroon and gray, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That is really cool looking.
Yeah. Mine's the old one. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so is that similar to what, like, Gary Zerner used to have? Okay, so that is what
that's what I have.
What he has.
That's the old Zeringer wagon that most people have probably seen around town, because like I said, I just like to just drive it. But yeah, my dad bought that off Gary when he sold the carry out, and then I've been tinkering with it and really pulled it in this winter and did a lot of work on it just to make it more drivable, a little more up to date. And yeah, that's what I have. It's a 1953 Chevy panel truck.
Okay. Did Gary do that work himself? Or did he have somebody do it?
It says
a combination of people.
Well, it says Gene's Body Shop is one of the logos that's on the
Gene
side.
Abel's
Gene
probably,
Abel's,
yeah.
And then Griswold did.
Jack Griswold.
Jack Griswold did the. He did all the Zeringer logos.
Yeah.
And all of the murals and stuff on the doors and on the side of it, and they did that. And then I actually took it over with Dad one night to a show in Portland. And there was a guy over there who came up to me and started asking me about it, because he's the one that did the pinstriping on it. So I don't remember what his name was now, but yeah, there's been several people that have done work on it. And
as far as the engine and body work, was it in pretty good shape when he got it, or do you know?
Let's just
about
say
that?
I'm not going to touch the body because I'm afraid of what I'll find.
Oh, okay.
It's the work I did on it was everything underneath, you know, the drivetrain, just to make it more drivable, you know. Better brakes instead of drum brakes all the way around. It's got disc brakes on it now. And, you know, just updated the little things that nobody will ever see other than the wheels and tires. And then I pulled the 1980s shag carpet out of the interior. So it's completely gutted down to bare rusty floors. And it's got the original wood bed in it still. So
The original wood bed
is still in it.
That's awesome.
It's got the wood slats down the side for tie downs, and it's
that
very
wood original. Was protected by that shag carpeting for all these years.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
and true. Now it has a bench seat for the kid in the back. So,
yeah. What about you, John?
I got all kinds of stuff.
Let's hear about it.
Yeah, so I've got a, I have a passion for Suburbans, thanks to my dad, because probably he bought a street rod in 1994, and it took us how many years to get it done. Dad always had Suburbans growing up, so I have, that's actually all I own. My wife's really happy. I have a 1985 Suburban that I picked up. It's actually an Ohio truck. I met the owner that owned it originally last summer. Had a cruise in Salina, which was really neat. From Ohio City. All original, low mileage. I've updated wheels and tires and lowered it.
And that's a good-looking truck, and we get to see that regularly around
we
town.
We cruise it quite a bit. The kids love it. My five-year-old is a fan favorite of the blue truck, so we get it out a lot and cruise it around, which is it's why we have it. I mean, for me, I have four kids and a wife who mostly enjoys car shows, so it's nice to have that space. You know, we can sit nine in the blue truck, so that's often the car of choice just to drive around. Like you said, if we don't have a show to go to, just to get dinner or whatever.
Now, you do have smaller vehicles for your kids to take when they have to parallel park and stuff, don't you?
I don't right now.
Oh, you don't?
They're SOL.
Addie's only 10, though, so there's a little time before
okay,
that.
Okay, so you have a little time.
Yeah, and then I also have it's a Yukon XL, which is a GMC's version of the Suburban. It's a 2007, and then that one's a little bit wilder, so it's got custom graphics, like 24-inch wheels, and it's bagged, so it'll actually sit, the running boards will sit flat on the ground for it, which is one thing that when we kind of talk about these cruise-ins and, you know, what makes the cars neat is just such a variety. I mean, even in my own family, we're all different levels of what we have, and, you know, Tom's got a really nice, our oldest brother's got a really nice 35, which is a street rod, more like Mom's. Super tiny compared to the Suburbans, but a very neat looking ride. And so we can all look at them and find things that we like about them and what we want to do with them. Or, I mean, hours of conversation around different things, and just it's always brought us together. And I think it's something that I've always said since I've been going to car shows since I was little. You know, we talk about the early 80s. I wasn't born until 85, so this has kind of been my thing for a long time. And every car show we go to, it's as much about the people, if not more, than it is about their cars. Like, the people that we run into and that we talk to and that we meet, and then friends. We've got guys from St. Louis that we saw at we met them in Tennessee, I believe it was, at a truck show down there. I hang out with them now. It's like my summer getaway. We go to a truck show and hang out with those guys, and I think I introduced my wife to that 2 years ago. And now she's like, well, when are we going back? You know, and just the people that they are and, you know, the kind of groups that we get. And I think for me, as the younger generation kind of coming up and being the president of the car club, like, you know, I look at the Laverne Weissels, who's had, you know, he's got the coupe, he's got the 39, that, you know, the orange and black one, or it's been purple. It was a Smurf when I was growing up. You know, it's been all kinds, but he's had it ever since I can remember. But then if you ever get to know, he's the pink truck, which is now the maroon truck.
Yeah, he painted it.
My brother, Tom redid all that after, I don't even know, I'd hate to put, I guess, 30-some years on it, that Tom got the opportunity to rebuild a, you know, such an iconic truck.
And the neat thing about that truck, he got that from Moe's Greasep.
Yep.
And he bought Moe's Greasep's house, and he bought Moe's Greasep's truck.
Yeah.
And it was tan and brown, yep, which was a good-looking truck back in those days, and he lowered it, painted it, I guess you'd call it hot pink, and it was awesome.
Well, it's purple, I think, if you ask him.
Yeah. I always...
It's been purple, but I don't know.
I like to call it purple, but but most people
it was definitely pinkish
purple.
But then, you know, he's got his Camaro that's in the garage that many people probably forget that he's had. You know, he had a Chevelle, which is an unfortunate incident we don't talk about. And then, you know, I mean, so it just like... But, you know, these guys, we growing up, but this... To me, they're always dad's friends. And then as I became older now, it's like every Saturday, where do I go have donuts with the old guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's who I hang out with. It's just like, it's just such neat people involved in it. And it's in any, I'm sure any organization, that's why you get involved is the people around it.
Sure.
So I use the club in a way as to get people to understand that, like, yeah, we have cars and we spend more time cleaning them than we probably should. And, you know, we might cuss in the garage more than we should, you know, those types of things. But at the end of the day, you know, we work just as hard to be good people and try to bring that joy one way or another if we can.
And the same thing happens in wood shops and golf courses and around fishing holes. And
exactly.
You know, it's pretty cool.
The people you meet and the things you talk about. You know, I was at Gas City last weekend with my son in the panel truck. A guy comes up, says, "Hey, can I take a picture of your back door? I have one just like this, but I'm missing the latch. So I want to take a picture so I know what I need, because I don't know what I need." So I was like, "Sure." I was like, "Well, actually, you know, my brother had like six sets of doors down at his house in Greenville." I was like, "Let me call him. He may have the parts and pieces." And, you know, in a roundabout way, later that afternoon, I got the guy's number before he left. I sent him a picture that my brother sent me. I was like, "Hey, is this what you need?" He's like, "Yeah, that's exactly what it is." Yeah. So, and then I texted him back today. I was like, "Did you guys, you know, had them exchange their numbers for them?" And he's like, "Yeah, I just showed up yesterday. It's exactly what I needed. It'll fix my door. I can close my door. It'll stay shut now. And we're good." So, you know, that's what it is. You know, there's another guy with
people helping people.
There's another guy there with a 39 Chevy, which was the first street rod we had as a family. And I spent 25 minutes talking to him about that and trucks and everything else too.
So, you know, it's kind of interesting because we just took the last 8 minutes talking about what, you know, you guys owned. And, you know, there was nothing smaller than about a, you know, eight ton vehicle.
I have an 84 Corvette too.
That was what I was wanting to get to, because I think the last time that you were up here, we spent 8 minutes talking about the various Corvettes that was around. So
there are a lot of Corvettes in Fort Recovery.
So you still own one?
I still own one, and the 65 Corvette that we always had, the white one that we bought in 73, Tom owns that now.
Okay.
But I have the 84 that's an automatic and fun to drive. So I really enjoy it a lot.
That's cool.
But I have Barney now, so, you know, the 84 kind of sits, except when Barney doesn't behave and I can't drive it, then I can hop in the Corvettes.
Yeah, Brad.
It's a lot of work to build a hot rod.
It is,
lots of moving parts. And
Jack spent years and years collecting parts for Barney and didn't get it done before cancer got him. And so that's when this family of car people, the car club guys and my three sons, said, "We'll get Barney back on the road for you, Mom." And it took 8 years, but it's there.
That's cool.
And it's, you know, it's just been awesome. And it made it to Louisville to the big Street Rod Nationals this summer, which was the goal. And the TV crew from the local TV station just happened to park two rows away from us. And I kind of went over and...
I was proud of it, and I hadn't even seen it yet.
I didn't hear this part. You went over and provoked it?
Well, yeah. I promoted my car.
I thought they were just walking around asking questions.
No, I thought Barney deserved it. I went over and talked to the videographer. I started out with, you know, I like the graphics on your car, but I don't think you're quite old enough to be in here. Oh, am I in somebody's way? It's like, there's 50 open spots around here. You're not in anybody's way. And then we struck up a conversation, and I thought Barney was deserving of a spotlight, and she did too. And when her reporter got there, they liked the story. Voila, we were on Louisville News. It was great.
Cool, yeah. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take another break, and we're going to come back, and I definitely want to, you know, touch on the Saturday happenings again. And we have a special Stump the Rocker that we're going to get to.
Yep.
We'll be back right after this.
Hi, my name is Connor Rammel at Fort Recovery Insurance. Every year, you should review your insurance plans to make sure you have the right protection for your needs. At Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, we'll take you inside our fort to make sure you're paying the right price for the right insurance to protect you. For years, we've been doing just that, and it's time for us to help you too. At Ohio Mutual and Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, we've got something for everyone, and we've got something for you too. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, call us today at 1-888-375-4181.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4858.
Here are just a few of the great specials at Wayne Street Market now through October 8th. They have lots of great prices in their frozen food section. A All varieties of Best Choice fries are only $2.99 each. And most Best Choice frozen vegetables are half price at only 99 cents each. And Bird's Eye vegetables are also half price at just $1.09 each. Don't need a full bag of apples? Most varieties of their bulk apples are just $1.99 a pound. And in their dairy case, Kraft Singles are $3.49 each, and Best Choice Shredded Cheese is just $2.39 a package. Great prices, great selection at Wayne Street Market, the hometown store that saves you more. Fort Recovery Community Club's Fall Fish Fry is coming up on Saturday, October 17th. Stop out at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on St. Peter Road for their famous fish with all the fixings, this year featuring premium pollock loin. And there'll be hot dogs for the kids if they don't want fish. It's only $10 for all you care to eat, and carryouts will also be available, and it's only $5 for kids 10 and under. Stop out at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on Saturday evening, October 17th, and try out their new premium pollock loin fish fry, serving from 4 to 7:30.
We're back. Insight.
Yeah, when I point at you, it's time for you to go.
Okay. So you point at me, I start talking.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've got this stuttering thing, and sometimes it takes a second to kick in.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm all right then.
Okay. So, Jack, Carol, John, and Steve, talking about the car show, coming up this Saturday, 4 to 8 on the Brick Street. Yep. And south of the stoplight, probably going down. Hell, we'll go with the cars we got coming. We'll probably go down the funeral home.
Say, I have to go get a beer from the bowling alley or something.
Yeah, bowling alley.
There you go.
Yep.
So, you know, and I think we talked about this off air. What makes a classic car?
What, the official rules?
Yeah,
25 years and older.
25 years and older.
According to, I guess, the state of Ohio or whoever made that rule. But yeah.
Okay.
25 and older is technically a classic.
Yeah, you can get antique plates.
Yeah, historic plates.
For street rods in, I guess, the car scene is 1948 and older. That's your street rods. And then, of course, your 50s, 60s, 70s are your muscle cars. I guess 50s really are kind of in the middle. But 60s and 70s are your muscle cars. And then late 70s, you get into the emission era, and things kind of went downhill from there.
So when, like, you look at the cars, and we'll revert back to the cars of the 1990s, okay? And take the Corvettes out of it, or, you know.
Well, then you don't have anything left.
Yeah. Thanks.
What cars of the 90s?
Old Sierra four-door sedan.
Or of the early 2000s will, like, people be going through car shows in the 2030s, and those will be the classics?
Well, I don't know if it would be a classic. There was one thing that stuck out to me. We were at Coldwater a couple weeks ago for a cruise for a young kid over there who has cancer, and we did a benefit thing for him. And there was a Plymouth Prowler. Now, granted, it's 2000s. It's not necessarily the 90s, but that's kind of one of those things that were kind of a niche thing when they came out. But, yeah, it was, you know, limited production.
Yep.
But then just to see one again, it's like, oh, hey, that's kind of cool. Because it kind of had that 30s era design to it. But, you know.
Yeah, sculptured fenders.
Yeah, you know. The Viper was another one.
Yeah.
Around that time.
So things that there weren't a whole lot of them, but for whatever reason at that time, they weren't in production very long for whatever reason.
I mean, really, and I mean, this is a, I have a skewed personal perspective. I'm more, I mean, I love my hot rods, don't get me wrong, but I enjoy trucks. And really, I would, I can't speak for everyone, but the truck scene has really grown, especially if you look at, like, what they call the C10s and the Chevys. So it was everybody wanted a 67 to 72 for the longest time. And now the square body, which is like your 73s to 88 on that style, is really popular. And it, but you see it now more and more, you know, being a Facebook junkie as far as what's for sale, the what they call the OBS or the early 90s, mid 90s pickup trucks are getting really, really popular again. And even now we kind of play into this game where, like, if you, you know, it's going to be probably hated upon between some of the the more nostalgic guys, the guys that I've seen, you know, they lived through the muscle car era. I mean, to me, like, they had the golden era of vehicles. So, you know, you look at a mid-90s Mustang, you're not really calling home. The mid-90s Camaro is a maybe. You can put a lot of power in those motors, so, I mean, that makes them fun, don't get me wrong. But trucks, even S10s, I mean, a lot of those guys that do the, what they call the mini trucks, so the smaller trucks, and they put them real low or whatever, like, they kind of hit a niche. So I really think the truck scene will be more of what you might see. But then again, that's a little bit of my personal preference kind of blown over to that too. But, you know, I just don't see the Chevy Luminas or even, we said, the Berettas, Ford Escort. I mean, what do you, what do you pick from?
Yeah, you know, and that's,
I mean,
the thing.
Maybe an import. I could, you know, the Hondas. Yeah. The Honda Civics, you know, the Fast and Furious made those pretty popular. Those are early 90s.
Yeah, and you can put some lights on it, and you can lower them and put a loud muffler on them, but they're not beautiful cars.
But some of those imports did a really good, I mean, Toyota did some where they were kind of unique in their own right with supercharger or turbo or
Mitsubishi 3000,
you know, or
the GTRs.
Even like the Eclipses would come with, there was a GTS, which was a turbo version, and then there's a GSX, which is all-wheel drive turbo. You know, so you kind of get into the, but it's all about preference. I don't know that, you know, it's really hard to pick out what makes it a classic. Now, something that kind of survives and can be really clean. Like, I was fortunate, the Suburban, the 85 that I have, it falls in the 30-year range, so I can take it to Louisville with my family, and it really benefits me in that aspect. But, like, there's no rust on that truck at all. I mean, it's got a few dings here or there, and it was maybe repainted once, but it's the factory baby blue that I love, and it's just clean, you know? Yeah. And, like, so for me, it's simplicity. You know, there's other guys, they want crushed velvet and, you know, hanging things from the window or whatever. Like, if that's their thing, that's cool too. But for me, if you're gonna walk around a show and pick out a classic, it's gonna be that simple, understated kind of look that's really gonna almost stand out more so. Yeah. I mean, I know, like, talking about my trucks, my 07 has got way more money invested, and it's got, you know, flames down the side, and it's got big chrome wheels. I get 100 more thumbs up in my blue old square bite, my brick that drives down the road, than I ever do in that other truck. It still amazes me.
And the one with the flames is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's neat. Yeah, don't get me wrong, I love it, but. Yeah. I mean, I can drive that blue truck down the road, and it's all day long, you're getting that thumbs up, which...
So when, like, it comes to going to another place for the premier car show, and you let's make it one that is, you know, within a day drive. Where's the car show of choice other than Port Recovery?
Louisville. It's the Street Rod Nationals. It's been going on for, 51 years now.
Wow.
They used to get 10 to 14,000 cars there.
Oh, my.
And until they opened it up to 30 years and older, it was all pre-48. But a few years ago, they opened it up. So, like, John can drive his Suburban, I can take the Corvette, and we can get in on the ground. So they have the muscle cars and things there, which makes it a real nice blend, because you've got a lot of the old ones. Of course, the purists don't like it, that the street rods are not the only ones there anymore. But it really makes for a neat show. They have a huge air-conditioned area that you can get in when it's 110 degrees in Louisville, and humidity is 101%. So it's the best of both, and it's just a huge venue, and that's just, these kids have been going to it since they were babies. Well, we've been members of the National Street Rod Association.
Her and Dad did a really good,
88.
Really good job of not telling us about Good Guys. Good Guys is a big organization nationally. They put on shows in Indianapolis. They put on shows in Columbus.
And they do good shows.
They do really good shows, and they're ones for, like, again, being a little bit younger, coming into the scene where they are like 72 and older. So they hit all the sweet spots with your Mopars and your Camaros of the day, and, you know, the cool Mustangs, the original Mustangs, and some of those. So those are good shows too, where if you're, you know, it's a couple hours either way from here, really. They didn't have them this year. Or even the Hot Rod Power Tour. We We got lucky. Was that last year? Maybe the year before? They actually drove right through Fort Recovery.
Is that right?
So there was, you know, I don't know, 400, 500, 600 car, whatever. Well, we were out there for a few hours in the rain watching them just roll right down 119.
There's usually a couple thousand cars involved in that, and
it's a week long drive where they pick a starting point and say, okay, we're going to start here, and then every day we're going to go somewhere, and usually it's a racetrack. You know, they've been to Indy and Norwalk, and you know, and they'll let the guys, you know, they get to go play on the drag strip and run your cars and do what you want. But it's a mobile show, and every time they get to a city, they've been to Dayton a couple times, and they 1 year they're down at UD, so everybody just met at UD for the day. It would be, you know, 3-4 hour drive for the day. You meet at UD. And you have a car show. And then that night you go to your hotel and have a car show there. And then the next morning you get up and you drive to the next city. And that's a really cool one.
Very cool.
One of the bucket list things.
So what month were like you guys born in?
November.
August.
August, November? What month is the Louisville car show?
First weekend of August.
August. Okay.
There's no correlation.
No, okay. No, just check. Doesn't work. That doesn't work.
Just check. I didn't, you know. Sometimes the really hot car shows are really hot, you know. So I just check.
Oh, geez.
So. So, all right. So I tell you what. We're going to take one more break, and we're going to come back. We're going to do Stump the Rocker with Cruisin' Songs.
Yep.
And then we're going to, like, touch one more time on the big Cruisin' coming up on Saturday.
Yep.
Stay tuned for Stump the Rocker right after this.
Forrest Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Forrest, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Forrest Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Forrest Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Cooper Farms is a diverse farm and food company with a variety of job openings, including various career paths, with locations in Van Wert, Paulding, Mercer, and currently expanding into Williams County. Cooper Farms is a family-owned business with big opportunities. Cooper Farms is a company that values ideas and input. We know our team members are what make Cooper Farms successful. To view job openings and apply online, visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials for only $5.25. Starting at 11 Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Tenderloin Basket on Thursdays, and on Friday, you can choose from our Soup and Salad Bar or our famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger basket. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evening, including a New York strip steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, both complemented by our large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
The Fall Fort Street Car Classics Cruise In is back on. The Ohio Department of Health is now allowing outside car shows just in time for this great event coming up on Saturday, October 10th from 4 to 8 p.m. It's back on the bricks for the Fall Cruise In. There will be a few necessary changes, but you'll be able to check out these awesome cars in downtown Fort Recovery. So don't miss your chance to get to the Fort Street Car Classics Fall Cruise In on Saturday evening, October 10th from 4 to 8 on the Brick Street in downtown Fort Recovery.
Okay.
Yes. So we're back here. We're going to do a little music trivia, which usually is rockers' big thing. But we're doing car songs, cruising songs, that kind of thing. So our guests will have a little bit of a maybe an advantage.
Depends on your selection and your idea of cruising songs.
Well, it's 50s, 60s,
okay.
Mostly 60s. So you'll get a correct if you get...
Don't copy off me either.
The name of the group or the name of the song, and extra credit if you get both. So,
do you have to spell it right?
No, because I'm not going to be looking down to see if you're spelling it. And if there's, you know, you need to get pretty close to what the name of the group and or the song is. It doesn't have to be exact. This isn't anything where it has to be exactly perfect. So, and the songs are all pretty easy. So, are we ready?
Yep.
Here's number one.
So how many songs are there?
There are four, but I have more if we need more.
Okay.
Now, can we go now, Jack? Ready?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was waiting for you to ask another question. Okay, here we go. We need the name of the song and or the name of the artist, and the other one is extra points. Nobody's meaner than... okay, now, second one. Ready? Well, she got her daddy's car and she threw to the hamburger stand now. See, she forgot all about the library like she told her old man now. And with the radio blast and go cruising just as fast as she can now. And she'll have... And the next line is the name of the... song, maybe, or at least a good hint on it.
Speech points, too.
They both?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are we ready for number three? Rocker's still writing. And, again, so we're, these aren't like out of left field songs. These are songs that you know. Now, here's one that's that is not... this is, as far as I know, a one-hit wonder, but it's a great car song. That should give you the name of the song, if you know the song very well. Now, we ready for another one? Or are we still thinking a little bit?
Keep
so,
going.
So far, we got some good stuff. So this will be the fourth and last one, unless we want to go to a playoff. So this one isn't about specifically about a car. Oops, here we go. So was anything really tough? You were familiar with all the songs, correct? At least somewhat familiar? Okay. So we'll get a little bit of a preview of this first one again. Okay. That's Jack, what did you have?
I had Little Old Lady from Pasadena, Neil.
Okay, and did you happen to make a guess on the artist?
I guessed Jan and Dean.
Okay, Rocker, what did you have?
Same thing. Only Beach Boys.
Oh, okay.
Little Old Lady from Pasadena, the Beach Boys.
Okay, it is Little Old Lady from Pasadena, Jan and Dean.
It is Jan and Dean.
Yep.
There you go.
Boom!
Jack, you're awesome. And the next one.
I make a motion that we quit.
Okay. Jack, what did you have for song number two?
I had fun.
Yes. And you didn't necessarily have to get all three funds. And what group?
I had the Beach Boys.
Randy, what did you have?
Same.
And the Beach Boys?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ditto.
Though three are correct. Those are good. And the one that's a little... I was going to do the Beach Boys first and then the Jan and Dean, but It just ended up this way, so that would maybe make you think it wouldn't both be Beach Boys. But so the next one, this one is probably, like I say, a one-hit wonder. Jack, what did you have on that?
I had Little GTO.
Yeah. And?
By the Safaris.
Well, that's incorrect, but that's at least you wrote something down. Huh? At least you wrote something down.
I wrote something down.
Rocker, what'd you have?
Same thing. I did this with Jan Dean.
Nope.
Dang it.
We had what Rocker did, so.
It is Ronnie and the Daytonas, GTO, a Little GTO. Ronnie and the Daytonas, one hit wonder.
Still in the lead.
So.
Yeah.
This is it.
Jack, what did you have?
I had Groovin'.
That is correct.
By the Lovin' Spoonful.
I will not say whether it's correct or not. Okay. We'll let Rucker get his in.
Basically the same.
Okay.
What do you mean basically?
So what did you have?
What did you have? Let me Groovin', see your paper.
Groovin', Lovin' Spoonful.
I'm calling... Right now.
No, Jack, you're not allowed to say that.
No cussing on the air there, Skippy.
Let me see your paper. Groove. All right.
Settle down.
We had Cruisin', Lovin' Spoonful.
And it is the Young Rascals.
Dang it.
Or the Rascals.
So, Jack wins.
I'm not sure what all the scores were, but I think Jack might have done a little bit better.
Uh-huh.
Rocker got some... Well, I think we got... Just about everybody on the Little Old Lady from Pasadena. No, you got Jan and Dean, didn't you?
Yeah,
I think that was the one.
Right there, yeah.
That was the extra point. Everybody got the names. let's see. Just for the heck of it.
I'm looking disgusted if I've ever seen one.
How about one that probably round? Everybody knows? Yeah. Let's go with this one. So, Jack, what do you think on that one? We won't write them down, but if it helps any, it's one that Randy Miller, Pudman, sings all the time.
I think
he's really good at it. Name of the song. Want to hear a little bit more?
I can't think of it.
We're trying to tell you. Part of the name of the song right there.
Mustang Sally by Wilson Pickett.
I had Mustang Sally with James Brown. I didn't know.
That is the Wicked Mr. Pickett.
Wicked.
Yep. The Wicked Mr. Pickett. Yep. So
somebody getting better. My hearing aid shut off.
Okay. So why don't we recap on the car show.
Saturday night
4 to 8 on the Brick Street and South this year.
And South.
And the museum is open 4:30 to 6:30, and admission is free. So come on up and join us, look at cool cars, and see the museum.
And it promises, from everything that we've heard, to be outstanding participation. The weather looks to be fantastic. It's free. Take advantage of a great opportunity to get outside, enjoy the weather.
And Slick and Rick will be playing most of these songs we just heard.
Right. Yep. And support our local merchants that are open for the evening and help everybody have a good time and get through COVID.
Practice social distancing. Help us do this safely. Okay. We don't want to screw it up for the people that are doing it this year or for other events that might take place. So, Carol, Steve, and John, thank you for coming up. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
thank you.
We wish you nothing but great things on Saturday and in the future.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Rucker, are you ready for your rant?
Sure.
We'll be back for Rocker's Rant right after this.
Oh, well, okay. Hang on just a minute. I didn't know we were going to do another commercial break, so we'll just do it.
Well, we can slide right into Rocker's Rant.
Yeah, just go into Rocker's Rant. We already did our commercials.
Oh, okay. So, guys,
you guys can hang around.
So,
it's entertaining.
Oh, yeah. Rocker, I have four topics for you to rant on, okay?
All of them? Oof. Or just any one of them? Work.
Are you ready for these?
Well, sure.
Ready? Okay. First rant. People who think professional wrestling is fake.
Well, if they take it that serious, I've known it for 30-some years, but I still watch it.
So you don't think that it's real?
No.
But at one point you did.
Well, no.
When he was eight?
I didn't know at the time, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't know they had it predetermined. All I knew is that it was entertaining.
The NBA Finals.
Can I say who cares?
Are they on? Is that what's going? Are they still playing? Does anybody know?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
That's all I know.
I didn't mean to kill your joy there, but
hot or not, Kamala Harris.
Kamala. You're asking the wrong person on that one.
Kamala.
Kamala.
You know how I feel about that kind of stuff. Absolutely, sure.
Yes?
Yes. Okay. I wouldn't vote for her, but
Does that come fall under the classification of brown sugar?
She's I'd probably pass.
Pass. Yeah. Okay. They've outlawed Mrs. Butterworth, Eskimo pies, and shoe polish.
Shoe polish?
What's next?
Polish, Jim, not polish.
What?
And they didn't outlaw shoe polish. Shoe polish doesn't exist.
What?
Sounds familiar.
Now you're sounding like Bill.
Wait a second.
I'm just going to assume you did that on purpose.
Okay, maybe I misread that line.
Let's try this again.
Okay. But they outlawed Mrs. Butterworth.
That was Aunt Jemima, actually.
No. They outlawed Mrs. Butterworth.
Both of them.
Why?
Eskimo pies. What's next?
They took out Uncle Ben, too.
I know it.
Probably, you know, Black Friday, you know, I'm surprised I still got that.
That hurt me.
I'm amazed, you know, some of the stuff that they come up with. All the, you know, Aunt Jemima, now, you know, that's been around for how many, 50 years? They're just now complaining about that.
Quaker Oats is out.
Why?
He's too white.
Quakers.
I thought you were going to.
I just thought
they should have outlawed that in the 1980s, early 90s, because the Quaker Oats guy looks just like Barbara Bush.
And or Ben
Franklin. And I was making fun of her.
Yep. So.
Anyway.
So what is next? Oh, you said Black?
Black Friday.
Black Friday is next. So.
Okay.
So anything to add on the.
Well, we lost old Eddie Van Halen yesterday.
I saw that. I told my wife that, you know, she's now got one more woman that she's got to worry about for me to run off with.
Kamala Harris?
No. Valerie Bertinelli.
Oh, yeah. She's they've been divorced for quite a while.
Yeah, they've been divorced for 15 years.
Stay with us, Jack.
Oh, the year's wasted.
Ah.
The year's wasted.
So many years.
So... So they've been, well, see, but I read a tweet from her that said that.
Yeah, they're not angrily divorced. Yeah, but, she was there with him when he passed away, and so was Hunter, or whatever the son's name is.
Wolfie.
And it was something about the
Wolfie
woods.
Wolfie Hunter.
Yeah. Wolf Hunter. Who knows?
So, named after Wolfgang Mozart, I believe. Or
really?
Yeah, I think so. I believe so.
So was he one of the four greatest guitarists of all times?
Yeah, they say he's the greatest. I have, you know, he's got to be in the top five at least.
Can you tell a good guitarist from an average guitarist?
Well, I don't know what an average one is. I mean, if you're talented enough to play that instrument. You asked me. If you're talented enough to play that instrument and people are entertained by it, there's no averageness to it.
So there, Jack.
There's no averageness.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I couldn't play it.
He has a style of playing that nobody seems to be able to duplicate.
I mean, the only one that could probably top it is Carlos Santana.
Clapton,
maybe, but, you know.
Jimi Hendrix, but he's
they didn't call him. They don't call him slow hand or nothing.
Prince was a very good guitarist.
He's hard as carp.
So can, like, you
didn't
guys
like any of his
tell,
songs, but.
I mean, a great guitarist.
You mean all when you ones, see it or when you hear them?
All the ones you rattled off are, but.
Yeah.
They can make a difference. I mean, you go to a live concert, and good guitarists will always kind of stand out, right?
See, I've never been able, you know, I think they can cover up their mistakes so well that you'd never know it. It is like a...
That must just happen when your hearing aids are off.
That's possible.
Well, if they're making mistakes, yeah, you probably wouldn't be able to... The only ones that, you know, where it would slip up was Milli Vanilli, because that's just a voice.
And they weren't even singing.
No, they weren't singing.
So
that's Tiny Tim's big hits. he sung for him. So,
anything else, Rocker?
I think that's it. The boys, they're going to get pretty perturbed at you.
Well, I don't even think they're fault. Here, are they?
Yeah, they're here. They've been here since...
Oh, crap, I thought...
82.
Oh, I was covering for them.
Really?
I was.
I could hear him talking for almost a half an hour.
Okay. Hey, stay tuned for Sports Talk. It's coming up right on time.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.